Hello, hello. I have a new guest for you guys today. And anybody that has children, whether they are, you know, itty bitties, older, whatever, that you think you may be navigating college one day, you definitely want to tune in here today because I am bringing on an expert when it comes to planning both your time and your finances for college. We just finished recording and I'm telling you what, I learned so much that I am already going to be implementing into my monthly and quarterly planning for next year to start helping us prepare for college. So I'm thrilled for you guys to be able to learn from Brad here today. He definitely opened my eyes to a lot of things when thinking about how to plan our time and get ready to navigate college. So let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Work-Life Harmony Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Sumrall. I'm the creator of the Top Program and Top Planner, teaching all things time management, organization, and productivity for women. I'm also a mom and wife, and just like you, I'm juggling hashtag all the things while running multiple businesses and a family. Guess what? You don't have to feel constantly overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out. There is another way. When you have the right systems and tools to plan and manage your time, you can live a life of harmony. This is your show to learn from me and other amazing women how to master your time, planning, and organization to skyrocket your productivity so you can have work-life harmony. If you're ready to stop feeling overwhelmed, this is the show for you. And if you're new here, I'd love to get you started with my work-life harmony assessment. All you have to do is DM me on Instagram at Megan Sumrall with the word harmony, and my team will send it right over. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Work-Life Harmony. I've got a new topic that we've never talked about here on the show today. I'm selfishly very interested in this as I have a student in eighth grade and we get closer to those college years. But today I've got Brad Baldridge here. I'm going to let him introduce himself in a minute. And he is an expert in all things college prep, both thinking about it from a financial perspective and getting prepared for that, but also from a time management. And that's where we're really going to be focusing our conversation today. So Brad, welcome to the show. I'd love for you to kind of tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump right in.
Hey, yeah. So my name is Brad Baldridge. I am a financial advisor and I'm a college funding specialist. So I help families plan and prepare for college. And I work mostly in what I would call late stage, and we'll explain what that is in a few minutes here probably. But families in high school trying to figure it all out. There's lots to do, and it can be overwhelming, yes, both from what the students need to do and what the parents need to do. So I've been working about 15 years now and launched a podcast and got very involved in, again, figuring out how college is going to work. And for a lot of families, it's going to be a lot different than the way their brother-in-law did it or whatever. So 100%. It's important that you kind of build a plan that fits your situation and not worry so much about how others are doing it.
Great. Awesome. Well, I know when we were talking earlier here before we started, you were talking about the difference of there's the early stage planning versus the late stage planning. What is the difference between the two?
Right. So late stage planning is we're there now, right? We've got kids in high school and we're looking at college and saying, oh, there's lots to do now. We've got to figure out where we want to go, how we're going to pay for it. We've got to figure out the process of, you know, applications for admission, applications for financial aid. We've got to figure out if we're going to qualify for aid and where the money's going to come from and how are we going to be fair if we have multiple kids. And we got to do all the legwork like the visits and the research.
Yeah.
And making sure that high school stuff is right. Making sure all the high school stuff is on track for our goals, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot to do. And I always tell families it's more of a process than, well, we're going to sit down today and we're going to, you know, spend Sunday afternoon. We're going to hammer out our college plan. It's like, no, you're not. You're going to maybe come up with some next steps and some framework, but then you need to kind of revisit it often as you move through high school.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the fact I have a daughter in eighth grade, you know, I've seen some families that I know that have children like in seventh grade that are already doing college tours. So I'm like, oh my gosh, am I behind? What is your best advice on when this late stage from a figuring out college, when we really start getting into some serious activity with that?
Right. So I think it's important what we also realize that there's things that parents do and there's things that students do. And there's things that you do together. And some of the things that the student does or just you do with the student, well, the student needs to be mature enough for it to make sense. So for a lot of us, that might be sophomore, junior year in high school, and a few of us senior year in high school. Because if they're not ready to do it, you know, pushing, you know, your kids to do things that they don't want to do has always been painful. And try and do the whole college process when they're resisting, it does not make sense.
What are some of those activities that are the parent-child together?
Right. So, yeah. So the parent-child together would be things like visiting colleges, figuring out kind of overall budget, deciding what you're going to do around testing and scholarships. You know, how much work are you going to put into it? Are you going to, you know, how many times are you going to take the test? And then kind of piecing that all together so that it's a coherent plan. If the colleges you're visiting require tests, well, then you can't say, I want to be test optional. I mean, you can, but then you got to change your list, right? You either got to change your list or change your test plan. So it all has to fit together. If you're on a very academic, high powered track where you're taking calculus and all kinds of strong math because you want to get into engineering, that's appropriate. But if you're not doing that and you're saying, I want to go to MIT, well, guess what? You're probably not going to get there unless you change something. So you got to make sure everything fits together. And that's, I think, where families need to start earlier than they realize. I would say even as early as freshman year. Okay. And I realize for a lot of families, especially with your oldest, you're getting acclimated to high school, which is a big change. And then I'm saying, well, you should be working on college. That's generally not all that realistic.
Right.
Especially from a student perspective.
Right.
But for parents, you need to start thinking about it because you may have to think about it for a year before you actually take action.
Right. And even you just talking about the difference of, you know, what courses they may be taking to map to what their, you know, desires are for college. I could see why you probably want to be noodling on that freshman year to make sure that you're getting involved in the right courses or programs there. So as far as, you know, starting to think about that for the parent together with the child, when we're starting to think about getting a short list for schools, we might want a tour and all of that. When do you typically see families starting that?
Generally, they do it later than I think they should. I recommend sophomore and junior year.
Interesting.
Okay. Early junior year. I think a lot of families put it off till, and again, as parents, the way we did it, right, was late junior year or even senior year.
Yes.
We went and looked at one or two colleges. We picked one and off we went. And we just didn't make a big deal out of it. Well, now that it's so much more expensive and we've kind of upped our game and we've figured out that, you know, when you and I went to college, we'd run into somebody that says, well, yeah, I'm on my sixth year. I changed my major three times. You know, they went to college to explore. Well, back then it wasn't so crazy expensive that maybe that was okay. Most families would say, no, we don't want a six-year plan. If we can do it in four, that would be much better. Again, mostly because of the price.
I think the colleges have changed some. I know when I went off to school, the expectation was, and I went to a liberal arts college, is that you were going in not knowing what you wanted to major in, and you were spending your freshman year and part of your sophomore year trying all the things out to then settle into what your major was. But nowadays, I think a lot of schools, that's not how that, if you were to wait till your junior year, you may not graduate in 4 years in order to meet the requirement. So I think there's been a shift in having a little bit clearer plan on what maybe you want to do as you head off to college as well, which terrifies me. So
exactly. And what you mentioned is still out there. And that's one of the key points, right? If that's the path that you need to take, well, then you need to find a school that accommodates that sort of path. Because there are many schools now where they're really trying to get people out in four, and they have some, you know, very defined tracks and that type of thing. And they essentially, some of them will guarantee you'll graduate in four if you do these things, right? Don't change your major, take the right courses in the right order as we recommend, and, you know, don't drop a bunch of courses or fail out of courses, then we'll graduate you in four. And that's a selling point, so to speak. Well, that would be great for a kid that knows that that's what they want. For kids that don't know what they want, maybe you should look for a school that's a little more flexible and has some of that exploratory type of
time built curriculum. Awesome. Now with the parent only tasks, thinking about freshman year, what are some of the things that we should be considering to start thinking about early on in high school before maybe we're ready to bring our kid into the fold on having these discussions.
Right. So I think for parents is getting your head around what it really costs and how you might pay for it. And, you know, again, mostly on the financial side, will you qualify for need-based aid? Will you qualify for merit-based aid? In the course I put together, one of our key first exercises is to figure out what a state school would cost for your family. Because a lot of times the local state school or the flagship state school, if you've got a strong academic kid, is kind of the one that is going to be the price to beat for a lot of families. So if you can go to your flagship school and the average private school, or excuse me, average public school is about $27,000. Sometimes
is that per year?
That's per year.
Okay.
And that's total cost as tuition, room and board, books, fees, beer and pizza. The whole cost for a typical student at a typical college. So you add all that up, it's 27 on average. Most of the flagships are a little more than average. So let's say it's 30,000 in your state. Well, it starts at 30, but your student can borrow 5,500 and probably they can work summers and weekends and whatever and make 5,000. So now there's 20,000 left for mom and dad to pay. And maybe you've got some savings. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've got a couple thousand a month that you could be saving. Maybe you don't. You know, so there's all these different, you know, pieces of the puzzle. And then there's loans to fill the gaps. And a lot of times now grandmas and grandpas are a part of the plan or could be, you know, a lot of times I hear things like, well, grandma's got some money for college. Well, how much? Well, we don't know. Well, how if you ask? So we can make that in the plan. Do you think she'd answer the question? Oh yeah, I'm sure she'd be very helpful. We just kind of are shy about it. It's like, well, we're there now. So we really do need to understand, is it 10,000 a year, 1,000 a year? Pay all of tuition? I mean, what is grandma really saying when she wants to help for college?
Right, right. And I can see why thinking about that, even late stage middle school, isn't necessarily such a bad idea if you're, you know, just now thinking about what our desires are for paying for college and how we're going to get all of that in place.
Right. And the other thing to think about is there's a lot of situations that get more complicated and that warrants spending more time and effort on it. If you've got twins and triplets, if you've got a blended families where now it's like, well, you know, divorced parents need to figure out how to get along to figure out college. If you own a business, there's opportunities and additional work to do. If your student's going to be a student athlete or might be a student athlete, there's that additional stuff to learn. If you've got a far and wide kid that says, well, I'm thinking about Texas or maybe California or maybe Boston, let's go visit all those places. Oh, really? Well, that's some major expense and some major time commitment where, okay. And then a lot of these high-end students are saying, and I don't want to miss any high school, right? I can't miss AP this and AP that and all these important classes. Well, then once you pull out a calendar and start trying to block all that in, it's like, okay, well, we can use this spring break for this and we can use this for that. Maybe we'll have to do something on the summer, you know, and again, as you start laying it out and planning it out, it becomes much more obvious what, you know, where the choke points are going to be and what the problems are.
Absolutely. And it's funny the timing when you brought that up of thinking that far out for things. For those of you listening that were part of the annual Planapalooza event in October, you know, that's when we're setting our annual kind of big picture plans for the next year. I would say for those of you that are in this late stage, maybe it's a great time to go back and look at the plan that you built in Planapalooza to identify with some of those, you know, times off with the spring breaks, the fall breaks, the whatever. Maybe you want to proactively be thinking about, well, how can we leverage that time to, you know, start thinking about college, you know, maybe trips, all of that. Cause I'm sure you also want to make sure maybe you're not going to visit the school when they're on fall break so that the kids are getting the feel for what it's like when the campus is actually, you know, in motion and alive as well. I'm already thinking about how I'm going to be changing my planning starting next year as we think about this as well.
Right. So here's a quick tip, pull out the academic calendar of the high school and all those Fridays off and Mondays off. Go to your work calendar and book them off.
Block those off too.
Right. Because a lot of times people will say, well, I need to schedule this big meeting and it can be on any Friday. Exactly. And I accidentally pick the Friday that they have off. And I planned this 6 months ago. There's no way I can move it.
Yep.
Had I known, I just would have put it, I would have picked any other Friday. It would have been fine. But now that I've messed it up, I can't fix it.
And that's where I think having all those teacher work days or 4-day weekends, that's a great time to use.
Exactly. And academic calendars for high schools generally are available.
Oh, they're out now for the next calendar year.
Yes. Yeah. They're putting them together for, right. So they're available out there. You just have to spend the time to find them and then coordinate that. And then, and a lot of times then students will also have their busy times, right? I'm very active in this sport or that sport.
Right.
So
or exams springs, or right, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Springs don't work or falls don't work or whatever,
I
right?
I imagine part of the musical. Maybe, even if you went into the school guidance counselor at the beginning of the school year to even get their recommendation on, hey, what are good times with our academic calendar here that we want to think about, knowing exams and schedules and all of that within a school. I think that'd be a great resource to go to. Now, when you start your planning process and you're thinking about, getting your short list of schools and all that, are there any kind of organizational tools that you recommend to kind of try and keep all this information in one place as you're navigating this whole late stage planning process?
Yeah, I have a course where we kind of work things out, but it's not rocket science. I mean, you certainly can use something.
Don't overthink it.
Right. Exactly. Okay. It's not like you need to have get the $70 binder or something. I mean, you can, if that's the way you roll.
Everyone, listen, this is not an excuse to go buy another notebook. You probably right. don't need it.
Right. Any sort of note app for my kids, it was just a 3-ring binder where with blank paper in it, we'd write down notes and say, all right, well, based on what we did today, here's what the student's going to do. Here's what the parents are going to do. And then the real trick is this, have that meeting 3 weeks later and say, well, did you do this and do that? Well, no. Okay. Well, when are we going to, kind of moving the ball on a regular basis and whatever works. And a lot of times if you tie it into your work calendar or tie it into however you run your life, you probably want to put college into what you already have versus start another system for most families.
Yeah. And I'm thinking for those of you listening that are in the TOP program, you could start thinking about what things belong either on your weekly checklist or your monthly or your quarterly checklist to go into your planning process. And one of the tools I talk about a lot that's free from it, if you want to keep it digital, I could see creating a Trello board for college, managing the whole college planning process could be great. Because again, you could share it with your kids. Tasks could have dates and reminders, and it'd be a central hub for the whole family to work from. So I'm already starting to think about maybe I need to create a template for that for the Trello board as well. Now, if you had to give, and I know I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, so if you need more than one, that's fine. But thinking about families in that late stage planning, what would be your top one or two tips to help them prevent like last minute panic or overwhelm as they're navigating college planning? Right.
And really boils down to starting early.
Okay.
And just doing it. I mean, there's a challenge, of course, where the student needs to be ready, as we've already mentioned, where you're not going to go on visits with a freshman, perhaps, or certainly an eighth grader or younger, and do anything meaningful. But if you just intentionally say, all right, well, we're going to have to visit some schools, and you can do what I would call preliminary visits. We're just going to go check out a campus, and it's a local campus. There's a lot of visits that you could do on a Saturday or Sunday to your local college. I've taken my daughter, and she's my third now, but I've taken her to a couple of the local things. She's adamant that she's not going anywhere near home, right? I say, that's fine. You don't have to go to the college, but I'm not dragging you all over the country just to go to a basic learn about college visit where they talk about how it works and where they talk about this is what a nursing major does and this is what a physical therapy person does. You can learn that at any college, even if it's not one.
Well, that's really smart. You could leverage some of the information gathering, even if it's a school that maybe isn't on your list, but it's there and easy to start getting information on stuff that would spread across schools. That's
exactly. And they have a great program, and it's on a Sunday, so we don't have to miss school or work. And it's a 20-minute drive or it's an hour drive. You spend 3 hours learning. That's about as much as a student can take often. And then you go home and talk about it a little bit, and then you're done. And then you do that a couple of times to where, again, for a lot of families, when you start getting into the mix of, well, do you want a big school or a small school? A student will stare at you and say, I don't know. I mean, what is a big school? What's the difference?
What does that mean?
I've never seen anything. I've never seen a college. really. I mean, I've in sports, I went and played on one of their fields once, but I wasn't paying attention to the college.
And the difference of a small school in college is still way bigger than their high school. So they don't even understand that frame sometimes.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes, but sometimes there's really small college. Yes. I mean, there's colleges at 1,000 where high schools are at 3,000. So again, it's just this process where it's a learning process for everybody. And if you start earlier and spread it out, there's just a lot less pressure. And, you know, I get calls every year with parents, you know, like right now in the fall, I'm getting calls from parents of seniors going, oh my God, we got to figure this out. And we're way behind. And how are we going to pay for this? And it's like, you know, we kind of call them the hair on fire crowd where, and we can help, but most of the time it'd be like, you know, you really could have done that, called me a year ago, and this would have been much easier. Because we're really behind the eight ball now. And I think a lot of families, they don't realize because it's gotten more complex and there's all these different programs out there and all this stuff to learn.
That's the thing is if you don't, I don't even know what I don't know yet. And so giving yourself that space and time to uncover as we go. Now, I know you have a lot of incredible tools, courses, et cetera. Tell everyone a little bit about how you support families that are ready to get some help with this.
Yes. So I have a website, tamingthehighcostofcollege.com, and you can go there. We also have a podcast of the same name. So there's about 100 and some episodes there of all kinds of college related stuff.
Great resources there for sure.
We've got a free newsletter. We've got things like the scholarship guide for busy parents, where, you know, the goal of that mini course is not to teach you how to get scholarships, to teach you what you need to understand about scholarships so that you can then decide, well, am I going to go down that path and how hard do I want to work at it? Because scholarships could be a huge project, or it could be, we're just going to skip it and focus on something else. And how do you make that decision? For a lot of families, they just run out of time, and that's why they don't do scholarships, as an example.
Right.
But if you do want to do it, you know, get involved and learn about it, and then you can decide if it's the right path. And it's a great idea for many families, but certainly not all. So those types of resources. We've got cost of colleges by state, where you can look up not just the full price, the list price, but a lot of these schools offer scholarships and other discounts where, you know, a $70,000 school might only cost $30,000for families with this type of income.
Right.
Which, while now you say, well, wait a minute, if the state school is 30 and this school is 30, now I can pick the one I like because the price is relatively the same. And that's no accident, by the way. I mean, a lot of schools realize that they're competing with that flagship state school. And they might have to be, you know, similarly priced, or they're just not going to attract students.
They're not going to get the students. Oh, this is so good. I tell you what, you've got me motivated to think about when I'm going to be doing my planning for 2025, because we'll be, you know, I'll have a daughter in high school then, to start thinking about what are the things that my husband and I are going to be doing that year, instead of potentially waiting till, you know, what I would have thought was, oh, we'll start thinking about it junior year of college. And now I'm realizing there's a lot of things we could be doing behind the scenes leading up to that junior year. So this has me feeling like a different view on all of this, which I really appreciate.
Exactly. And especially the parent only stuff. Will we, you know, the financial stuff, the budget, the what's this, you know, talking parents talking, well, what's our philosophy?
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll have one parent that says, well, my parents paid for everything and it was great. And then another parent might say, well, I had to do this, work my way through school and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I've had parents say things like, well, we're just not going to help. I work my way through school. They can work their way through
school. That's what they're going to do. Yep.
Wrong. Most school, you know, again, because it's so much more expensive, you know, show me a student that can raise, you know, $25,000 a year to pay for college.
Right.
It's possible, but those kind of kids are rare.
Yeah.
And if you have one of those kids, great. But usually when you talk about the kind of the middle income families, right, where the kid says, you know, when they're 12, hey, that iPhone's cool. And then one shows up. And then the next they say, you know, I know you're tired of dragging me around all these events and sporting. Well, I'm 17 now.
If we had a car,
you know, life would be so much better. And mom and dad are like, yes, I think we'll make that happen because it will make our life better. So that happens. And then, well, a lot of students think, well, mom and dad are going to shake the same money tree. And voila, here's college. Because a student doesn't understand there's a difference between a $1,000 phone and a $10,000 car and a $100,000 education.
Absolutely.
The typical student says, they're all big numbers. I've not ever seen any of them. They're all the same. And as far as I can tell, it's mom and dad's, you know, it's not even a problem in their mind. They're just saying mom and dad's taking care of it. Don't have to worry about it. You know, so again, you know, getting into all that stuff earlier so that you have some time to figure it out and recover. Then
you can be a unified front as you're heading into the kid involvement, which I think is
exactly. And it needs to be realistic, right? You can't say things like, well, they're just going to pay for it all. That's your solution. And then when you get to the end, realize that they can't afford to pay for it all. So a lot of challenges. Good.
Now, I know we talked a lot here today, you know, about more of the time management and that planning, but also I want all the listeners to know, you know, Brad has a immense expertise in the financial side of that. That just wasn't part of our conversation today, but please know that that is a incredible resource for you. I would definitely, we've got in the show notes the link to your website, as well as the podcast. So definitely, if you guys are in that, you know, you've got those teens, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade. And if you've got a junior, you haven't started thinking about it, I would say definitely pop over to the website and start thinking about how, what you want to add into your plans. So this has been immensely helpful for me. The timing was good, selfishly. So again, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate it. Getting on top of all things time management, organization, and productivity doesn't have to stop just because this episode is over. If you want one-tap access to all of my training and current top podcasts, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Pink Bee app. It's one word, the Pink Bee. It is jam-packed with simple yet powerful tips and strategies to get you out of overwhelm and into harmony. And if you have a question you want me to cover on a future episode, go to iTunes and ask your question in the podcast review section. And while you're there, don't forget to leave a 5-star review.